Now I'm going to preach a sermon today that I've entitled, Worship, It Will Change Your Life. Let me say that again, Worship, It Will Change Your Life. Now if I'm going to think about worship, this is certainly the time of year that I will think about worship. In fact, this time of year produces a lot of thought in my heart regarding worship. And I want to read a portion of Scripture to you this morning in the life of Jesus regarding that really actually began the last week of His life. How many of you know traditionally and speaking, if we're taking the Bible, this Sunday represents the Sunday that Jesus made His entry into Jerusalem. But the reality was, and He knew what prophecy said, this was the last week of His life. This is the last week that He, and He knew that. That He would be in the earth. And I want to read two verses of Scripture to you this morning from John chapter 12. And I'm going to begin in verse 12 and I'll read verse 13. And it reads this way. It says, the next day the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. Now listen to this. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet Him. And here's what they were doing. It says, they shouted and they praised God, blessing the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And here's what they were declaring. I tell you, it was a good thing. They were saying, hail to the King of Israel. As I've already stated to you, these verses describe what it was like when Jesus made His entry into Jerusalem on this last week of His life. Now, did you notice that it stated that there was a very large crowd? I want to emphasize that for a moment, and I'm going to come back to that at the end of this message. And what were they doing? They were all praising the Lord. Now many refer to this as Jesus' triumphant entry. He was entering into Jerusalem, and many, they misunderstood prophecy. They thought that Jesus was coming at this time to establish His earthly kingdom and become the king that would rule over the earth. The only problem is there is a period of time where that is yet to be fulfilled. This was His first entrance into the earth, but He is yet to come again. He will, my friends, come again as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords, and I am excited about it. Amen? It can't happen too soon for me. Now I'm going to share three thoughts with you today regarding worship and how it can change your life. Point number one, all humans, and I want you to think about this, and all humans are worshipers. Now I regret that I don't have more time to spend on this topic of worship today, because you could spend literally a year of teaching and preaching on this subject and you still would have only scratched the surface of worship. But here is a reality. All humans are worshipers. In a tropical rainforest, a tribal chief bows before a crude figure fashioned from sticks and stones bound together by jungle vines. Somewhere in Asia, in a fantastically ornate temple, a young man burns incense before a lavishly decorated Buddha. In the heartland of America, a small group of locals meet in an unobtrusive building in a small Nebraska town to sing and to pray together. A man in the suburbs of Detroit spends the entire morning meticulously washing and waxing his foreign-made sports car while his daughter spends hours in a poster-plastered room listening to her favorite rock band on her iPod. I want us to realize something today, beloved. All of these people are worshiping. Now, in some cases, the worship follows a prescribed formula within some kind of formalized setting and is relatively easy to identify as worship. For example, what we've done this morning, people would identify as worship. Others of these, many would generally hesitate to call worship, and I understand that hesitation, but whether we recognize it or not, folks, these things take on the form of worship. Now listen today. Every one of us worships something or someone. Every one of us worship something or someone. And you need to understand this, that whom or what you worship exerts tremendous influence over what you are and what you will become. Now, according to the Bible, man by nature is a worshiper. I know, again, I'm a bit frustrated because we can't go into this a little more so I can show you. But listen, some people worship their jobs. Some people worship power. Some people worship success. And literally, this is hard for us to fathom in America, but it's true. Some people worship other people. Hey, listen. Some people worship their favorite idol. In Hollywood, their favorite movie star. I mean, they'll cancel everything to go see their favorite star. The point being, man by nature is a worshiper. Beloved, it is in our DNA. When God created you and I, in our DNA, He said, you're going to be a worshiper. Because God knew that we needed something bigger than ourselves to guide our lives and someone we could turn to in good times and in trying times. All humans are worshipers. Whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we recognize the object of our affections as a deity in the strictest sense of the word or not, we're all worshiping something every single day of our lives. It's how we're designed. Now, secondly, I want to say this, and I hope that you understand that without me going into more detail. But here's something that is absolutely vital for every one of us to understand this morning. Worship establishes rulership. I want to say that again. Worship establishes rulership. Now, the role of worship in our lives is foundational, and it is essential to our stability. I'm going to change my phone. The role of worship in our lives is foundational and essential to our stability. And at its core, listen to this now, worship is not only a church service as much as it is an understanding of our lives and how to rule life rather than being ruled by life, even when tragedy strikes. Oh, how I want us to understand this morning. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not just coming to church and hopefully I'll hear something in the singing and I'll hear something in the preacher's voice or something that occurs in that service that will inspire me to be a worshiper. Beloved, every one of us are worshipers. But here's what I want you to recognize, secondly. Worship establishes rulership. You see, at the root of God's revelation to His creation, worship is shown as the prerequisite to man's ability to receive and to live, and I want to say this, the high possibilities and the richness of His plan that He has for us. Worship is that key. Worship is what establishes this in our lives. God's own word clearly reveals that when He was creating people, it was not so much for fellowship. I know we hear that God created man for fellowship. Hey, God has the Son and God has the Holy Spirit with whom He fellowships with. Certainly that is part of it. But let me tell you why God created man. It was to establish rulership. In other words, He was granting us this relationship with Him that would give us the ability to carry out the intended role on the earth. Come on, church, I want you to understand this. We have a role in the earth, and I might just preach a little bit this morning. And it's called rulership. And it's called walking in the authority that God has given us. You see, when the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit determined to make man in our image, He had a reason and He gave that reason to every one of us. I want you to listen this morning to Genesis chapter 1. Here's what verse 26 and 28 says. I'm not going to read those verses to you right now, but here's what it says. It says, let them, that is mankind, have dominion.
Let mankind have dominion. How many of you know that we are created in the image of God? Beloved, you are created in the image of God. Some of you say, man, I don't feel like I'm created in the image of God. You are. And you're created not only to be a worshiper, but you are created to be a ruler in this earth under the lordship of Christ. See, God's purpose for creating man and woman while including fellowship, it was definitely much more. Here's what God was doing when He created man. God was inviting us into a partnership with Him. And here's what He was wanting to do. And here's what He still wants to do. We are being made into kings. That is a biblical term. And our dominion was to be all the earth. How many of you recognize that today? Now, God's dimension of dominion is vastly different than ours, and I think we all understand that. God was and is the creator of the entire universe. Do we still recognize in these times when there's instability everywhere, and we're hearing about economic downturns, and we're hearing about all kinds of problems. Do we still understand that God is the ruler of the universe? Folks, listen, He's still in control. God, I'm telling you, He's not on His throne today scratching His head and saying, my God, son, things are out of control on the earth. What are we going to do? He's not turning to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, help me. I need a little comfort today. I'm stressed. I'm messed up. Something's gone bad, wrong on there. No, let me tell you, God is still the ruler of the universe. Psalms 115 and verse 16 says, The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth, listen, He has given to the children of men. Now, the privilege of rulership is our assigned role, and it is a privilege. And I think you're going to understand that a little better by the time I'm through today. And I pray where maybe I miss something or don't say something, the Holy Spirit will say it to you. But you were created to have a partnership with God and be in rulership with Him. But here's what we need to understand today. Our rulership was to be sustained by our worship of the true and living God. I want to say that again. And I think, folks, we are coming into a time where it is going to be ever evident that we need to be in control of things and need to be in partnership with God. But let me say it again. Our rule, in other words, our authority, our ability to partner with God is to be sustained by our worship of Him. Now, the first commandments were very simple. God told Adam and Eve, He said, be fruitful and multiply, and I want you to replenish the earth. He went on to say, subdue it and exercise dominion. That's our calling, to be fruitful and to multiply and to exercise dominion. Folks, in our families, and I'm not talking about a domineering dominion. I'm talking about a loving, Christ-centered, empowered dominion in our families. And God knows as well as I know and as well as you know, that's a little easier said than done today and in this hour. Is that true? But nevertheless, that is why we are created. And by God's empowerment and by God's help, by His sustaining grace, we can be what we are called to be. We can do that as parents. We can do that in our marriages, though these challenging times are producing perplexing situations for everyone. I'm telling you, folks, through His rulership, through His lordship, and through submitting to Him, and just simply understanding who we are and the role that worship plays in this, let me tell you, we can be who God wants us to be. I want to rule in the earth in that area that God has given me. And God has given every Christian an area of influence that He wants you to exercise dominion in. Every one of you. And I think some of you have problems in your life, or maybe you don't feel, you know, like you're measuring up. I'm telling you, God, thank God for Jesus who fills in the gap. On my worst day, Jesus is there filling in the gap. And God, when He looks at me, He's not looking at me. He's looking at Jesus. Sure, He wants to encourage us. Sure, He's going to help us overcome things if we need to. But I want us to understand the power of worship today. I want you to understand, first off, you are by nature a worshiper. Think about it. And maybe that's new to you. Maybe you just thought, I'm just this neutral person. I don't worship God. I don't worship idols. But let me tell you, folks, you stop and think about it. What we give our time to, what we spend our time to, really, apart from those things that we absolutely have to do, that really tells us what we worship. I want to be a worshiper of God. And I constantly cry out for the grace and the help and the assistance of God to be a worshiper. And I know you do that as well. Amen? Now, there was a problem with Adam and Eve. Now, we don't know how long that Adam and Eve walked with God, but we know it appears to be a significant time in which they daily met with God and they received nourishment from God. They approached God with humility and with thanksgiving, and they were in awe of God, and there was a dependency there. There was an obedience. Now, we don't have knowledge of how long this period of time was. But it's clear from the Bible that there was a period of time, a significant season of time in which they worshiped with God and they partnered with God. How many of you have read the story? And they knew God. It says that God met with them in the cool of the day. Adam went out as any dutiful husband would. He went out to tend the garden. And he went out, and I don't know, I'm just speculating. I don't know, were there lemon trees in the garden? I don't know what all was in the garden. Were there tomatoes? I don't know. I don't know what was in the original garden. I tend to think there were tomatoes. I tend to think there were cucumbers. And, oh, God knows, I hope there was watermelon. I hope when we get to heaven that Adam can talk about watermelon. By the way, for all you watermelon lovers, this is the time of year when watermelons are coming into season. Praise the Lord. Yes, I ate too much watermelon last night, and that's what's wrong with me today. Man, by nature, is a worshiper. And God put that nature in him for a purpose. Because God wants us to be rulers in the earth. He wants us to exercise dominion and authority in the place that He puts us. Now, I often say this to people, and it's because I want people to be encouraged. Folks, I don't believe it's an accident that you live where you live. I don't think it's an accident that you work where you work. I know sometimes we pray, God, get me out of here. Get me out of this situation. Get me out of this deal. We've all been there. But when God doesn't do it, guess what God is saying? That is the place that I want you to rule in. That is the place I want you to exercise dominion in. We just want to get out of there because it's hard, because it's difficult. And God says, no, that's where I need someone standing and exercising dominion in that place that I put you. Now, some of you, I see the light going off. Yes, that's what God is doing. And the only way you and I can sustain that rulership is through worship of God. But there was a problem in the garden. And it's the problem that we still deal with today. Man took a fall. Man disobeyed God. And there was a problem in the garden. It really wasn't a very pretty scene. And then the serpent, he came in. And he began to deceive. And he began to exert authority and other things that God never intended for him to exert. But I want to tell you something today. Mankind, if you look around, is still suffering from the fall. But I've got some really good news for every one of you today. God has provided a way of restoration of our authority and our dominion living. It comes through worship of the true and living God. There is only one God. And by the way, I have been to the tomb where Jesus was placed. And guess what? I've got good news for you. He resurrected. He is not in that tomb. Our God is alive. And by the way, do you know that Jesus and God are the only ones that ever claimed that Jesus, out of all the gods that are served in the earth, claimed that He resurrected from the dead and that He's alive today? Praise the Lord for it. Buddha doesn't claim that. I mean, all these other gods, Muhammad doesn't claim that. But our God does. And I believe it. Paul said, if we don't believe this one truth, our faith is in vain. But a problem came into the garden, but thank God, God saw the problem and God began to repair the problem even in the garden. He began to help Adam and Eve become worshipers again. How many of you know in order to restore us, there has to be a sacrifice that is offered? What was offered? There was a sacrifice that was offered even in the garden. And what did God do to robe Adam and Eve from their spiritual nakedness? He put the robe of sacrifice on them, which is a type of Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus will restore us to the rightful place that we need to be, to that place of dominion and authority, if we recognize the sacrifice and we approach God properly. If I approach God in my own strength, in my own works, or in my own efforts, or my own prayers, guess what? I'll never be what God wants me to be. It is all about Jesus. And that's the reason I want us to focus in a very real way on Jesus this week. And I want us to think about what was going on when He made His entry into Jerusalem. What was the crowd doing? The crowd was praising Him. And they were shouting, Hosanna to the King. Hail to King Jesus. Man, everybody was excited about Jesus on that particular Sunday. Don't you love those times when you come together in corporate worship and everybody is excited about Jesus? Man, it's great. It's like the presence of God sweeps in and says, man, I like this. You know why it happens? Because God does like it. I always want people to know that it's never about God's ego, but it's just the way it is. God designed worship not for Himself, but for me and you. It is the bridge by which we come to God. And now some of you are beginning to understand why you go through some of the problems and some of the hassles that you go through. Worship, my friends, of the true and living God restores me and it restores you to our rightful place of rulership. And what I want to do today, I want to encourage you that the next time that you are challenged when it comes to your worship of God, somebody said, well, that was only about 10 minutes ago. Join the club. Folks, do you understand that the time is short and Satan is going to do everything that he can? The Bible says that he will recognize in history a time when he only has a little bit of time left. He is going to do everything he can to fight and challenge Christians because he knows that we have the answer. He knows that we not only have the answer, but that we are the answer. And he does not want God's dominion and God's authority established in the earth. Next time that you sense your worship is being choked out, and you really can't explain it, and you really don't understand it, and it happens to all of us. Have you ever noticed that these problems in life, they seem to grow in clusters, like a cluster of grapes? You think, you know, one grape would be fine representing challenges in life. But how many of you know that is just not the way it is? And I could talk to you for 100 years, and I couldn't explain some of these things. But I know this. Life has a way of choking out the true worship of the living God. And I think now more than ever, I know I've been a Christian now a little over 30 years. Listen to me. I've never seen pressures on people like I see now. But I want to encourage you today. I want you to recognize that when that is happening, Satan is trying to steal your worship. And the ultimate goal is so that your worship will not do what it is supposed to. Folks, let me tell you, when we come together in corporate worship, let me tell you, there is an establishment of God's rulership and God's kingdom that comes about when we're all together praising. Next time you are challenged, say, man, I've had a hard week and I don't want to come and I don't want to worship with the saints of God. That may be a reality, but you need to understand that God wants His kingdom to be established. Can I hear a great big amen? It's about His kingdom. And it's about its establishment, so you be aware of what is going on. We all have those times. Satan will come. And I really don't want to glorify Satan today. I want to glorify God, but sometimes we have to identify the enemy, right? And we have to be reminded of who he is. I'm telling you, folks, this thing of worship is so real. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. How many of you recognize that? Do you realize that the first family had a murderer in their family, Adam and Eve? And listen, for all you parents that have had children go astray and go in a pathway that they didn't need to, you be encouraged. Adam and Eve had a perfect father. They had a perfect relationship, and yet one of their sons killed the other son. But it wasn't about what we usually talk about. We usually preach it was about anger. We usually preach it's about this, or we preach it's about that. But let me tell you what it was really about. It was really about worship. The one brother didn't want to do it the way God said, and so he said, you know what I'm going to do? He let Satan work in him. It was all over worship, and he killed his brother. It wasn't about fruit. It wasn't about who's going to be first. It was about worship. Folks, let me tell you, the adversary is violent against worship. I want to take this opportunity to encourage everyone who's on our worship team. When you sense that tension, when you sense problems, don't submit to it, because you've got a job to do. You've got a job to do, and that is to lead us into worship. And let me tell you, he's going to try everything, talking about the devil, to mess up worship. If he can get the worship team out of sync, if he can get things all messed up, guess what? We're not going to enter into worship like we need to. Man, this thing of worship is real. If you don't think it's real, study all through the Bible this spirit that tries to destroy worship. You know how Satan does it in our own lives? He comes when he's at his best as the accuser of the brethren. He comes to accuse you of your failures. He comes to accuse you of your problems. Those of you who are parents and don't feel like you've done a very good job, just, you know, you'll be able to be consoled by Adam and Eve when you get to heaven. And he accuses you. Well, if you'd done this or you'd done that, your children would have turned out better. Oh, really? What we fail to realize about every human being born on the face of the earth, this includes our children, this includes our spouses, those maybe once we were in love with, they have a choice and they have a will, and they can decide to go outside of God's will at any point and any time and really cause some pain. And because of the fall that occurred in the garden, folks, I'm sorry to tell you, there's a lot of pain in the earth today because people are just making bad decisions. And we are affected by the decisions of those who we love. And I'll say this before I move on to my next point. Don't stop loving, folks. Don't stop giving. Guess what? Because you're going to be hurt again. You will be hurt again. Just keep on loving. Keep on encouraging. And you leave the results to God. When you get hurt, and we all do, you go and you believe God. And don't you stop worshiping God. When your flesh and your emotions say, I don't want to worship God another day. God, I love you and I thank you for what you've done in my life. But this is too painful. This has been going on too long and I'm hurting and I've hurt enough. Lord, I'll see you in heaven. Don't do that. Don't check out on God. You continue to be a worshiper, because what does worship do? Worship establishes the rulership of God in your life. Now, some of you are beginning to understand why the immense, hard, and difficult challenges that you've experienced. It's not because you're a bad person. It's because you're a person that's trying to move on with God. Have you ever made a new dedication to God and suddenly, it seemed like everything comes against you? Now he said, man, this God stuff, it's painful. It can be pressing on to that next level. But we're doing it for God. And we're doing it for his kingdom. And we're doing it so that he will be established in the earth and so that people will see him and love him. And thirdly today, I want to say this, and I've really already preached this. Number three, worship restores. The last thing it seems like we want to do when we're in a difficult situation is worship God for various reasons. Sometimes we just don't feel worthy. Sometimes the situations have so drained us and demoralized us that we just don't want to worship God. We'd like to, but we just sometimes don't feel like we have the strength. Beloved, you must press. You must press forward in those times because worship restores. Here's a little story that I read this week about oil in the lock. It goes this way. It says, "I wish you'd oil that lock," I said. "I've had a nasty time getting the key to turn." The proprietor looked at the key and at my key and he smiled. He took it and he gave me another one. And he said, "I should think it would be much easier now that you have the right key." Have you ever tried to open a door with the wrong key? In my earlier days when I was a little more fiery, I remember one time trying to get a door open and the key went in and it seemed like the right key. And I decided I was going to help this lock. Bless the Lord. And guess what I did? I twisted the key off in the door. Then I had real problems. Had to call the locksmith. Then had to get a new lock and all that goes with that. What am I saying today? I'm saying, folks, that worship is the key to so much of what we do. I really, if apart from Jesus, apart from understanding His death, burial, and resurrection, in other words, His sacrificial death for us, becoming a worshiper to me is absolutely the most important thing that I could share with you and that I could preach to you today. And I think initially, Adam and Eve understood that. I think the folks on this day where Jesus made His entry into Jerusalem understood that. But I'm here today to remind us, whatever we're going through, the key that restores is worship. Now, where worship is for people, man's greatest possibilities are affirmed. We are truly affirmed, folks, when we come before the throne of our Creator. For example, let me just show you a few things, and I'm probably not going to cover all these things that are restored when we worship God. Listen, folks, this is the reason private worship is so important. But this is where I want the whole world to understand. Not only is private worship valuable, and not only is it beneficial, but folks, we got to take it to the next level in this corporate worship. We are establishing something. We are unlocking the windows of heaven when we come together and worship. When I do it privately, yes, I'm unlocking the blessings of God for my family and for myself and for my wife. But when we come together as a community of believers, we are unlocking the windows of heaven so that God can pour out His blessing on our community. In other words, we step it up to the next level. Worship is the key that unlocks the blessings. How many of you know without one word said where there's true heartfelt worship in a setting like this, people begin to understand God loves me. Now, Satan comes to church too. Satan comes to church and as God tries to come near us, he says, "Hey, you know the picture of the angel on one side and the little demon on the other side speaking to you? God saying, 'Oh, I love you, I love you.' And then that little voice says, 'But don't you remember what you did last week? I love you. I love you. I died for you. I love you. I gave my life. Oh, don't let my gift go by the wayside without its benefit.' But don't you remember what you did? Any of you ever been there? It's a reality. But I can tell you what unlocks the love of God. It is worship. How many of you know when we're truly worshiping God, God's great forgiveness comes to us. And folks, look, right now, whether you recognize it or not, we are worshiping God by adhering to His Word and listening to His Word and loving His Word. And you know what we're finding out? God's forgiveness. The assurance of His acceptance before God Almighty. And then there's something else that we discover. We discover God's great promises for us. In other words, we realize that we are made for a purpose. We have a phrase here that we use, and it's really because I mean it, and it's really what I desire to do. We say, when you come to Church on the Rock, you'll come and discover what your purpose is. Every human being has great value. You have great value because God created you and because God has a great purpose for your life. Folks, you are a worshiper. You are a worshiper. And I know some of you will be hearing of this through the internet and through other avenues. But I want you to know something. You are a worshiper of God, and the reason God wants you to be a worshiper and the reason that God designed you to be a worshiper is so that His rulership, His blessings, His worth, and His value could be established in your life. Now, just for a moment, the problem that we see in Adam and Eve, and even this great crowd that is gathered now, they've heard that Jesus is coming into town. They've heard that He's making His entrance into Jerusalem. This crowd on this Palm Sunday, apparently, as well as Adam and Eve, not much has changed, has developed a defect. These people were praising God at the first of the week. Do you understand? From reading the story, what they were doing, from some manipulation and apparently something that had gone bad wrong by the end of the week. Do you understand what they were shouting at the end of the week? Sounds just like human beings. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. See, we got to read the rest of the story. Something had gone bad wrong. Just in a few days, from one Sunday to early part of the week, I mean, man, they were excited about God. But something went wrong. And I think sometimes we struggle with this too. In fact, I know we do. Maybe it's because of a divorce that occurred, an unwanted divorce, or a divorce that just, there was no other option. Maybe it was the loss of a job that causes some kind of a defect to develop in us. What about a child choosing a lifestyle that nearly destroys the families? Can I talk to families for just a moment who have raised children? If you've raised them in God, first I want to say you keep declaring over those children that your children were taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace and they're going to serve the living God, amen, and that you've raised up a child in the right way and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Can I say that first? But let me tell you, in between that time where we introduce them to God and they become adults, they can make choices that can literally destroy families. And God feels your pain, but do not let that become a defect in your life that's so devastating that you feel like, I don't want to worship God anymore. Folks, God is not a God of retribution. See, some of you think, my children aren't doing what they need to be because God's trying to get back at me. God's punishing me. Where did you get that from? This is not the hour of punishment. This is the hour of God's grace and God's favor. That comes later. God is on our side. Maybe the defect was the unexpected death of a loved one. Folks, I'm sorry to tell you, and I mean this, it happens. People die prematurely in this world that we live in. And I've stood over too many caskets and been with too many families, but the reality, it happens. But what God doesn't want to happen out of that is some kind of a defect that causes us to back off from God. What about an unwanted sickness? I don't know about you, but I do not like being sick at all. Especially when it's beautiful and the sun is shining and you look out your window, you can see people out having a great time and you're in there and you creep out and look out the window every now and then. I mean, it just gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? If that gives you goosebumps, you are sick. A little play on words. The point that I want to make today is that God can fix, God can heal the defects of life. No, they're not joyous when you're going through them, but through worship, Through reconnecting to the power source, beloved, we can be reconnected to the living God who will heal us, who will restore us. And by the way, in the New Testament, it says who will cause all things to work together for the good of those who love Him. If you love Him, God's working on your behalf. That's what He's doing today. Somebody said, where's God? What's God doing? God is working on your behalf. He's going to take this situation and these circumstances in life, and He's going to turn them for your good. When you're in the middle of them, you say, how is that possible? Beloved, worship is God's primary way of restoring you and I. You are a worshiper. I want you to really think about that, because I realize that statement to some, it's like, no, I'm not a worshiper. Oh yeah, go study. It's you're created to worship God. You're worshiping something. One of the greatest tragedies that we're having in the westernized world today is we're worshiping success. Parents, please hear me. Make sure your kids are exposed to God. Make sure your kids get over exposure to God. Sure, every parent wants their child to succeed in this world. I understand that. God understands that. But how can they be a success if they never know God? What is success? Success is coming to know the God that created you and that put you on this earth. And if I just want to be real careful here. I am so burdened for younger families. I understand that pressure to get the kids successful. But let me tell you, folks, if they don't know God, and if they don't get more exposure to God than they're getting, this is a time where too much sun is good. I said, this is a good time for your kids to get too much sun. Don't put any sunscreen on them when it comes to God. Because there is so much coming against their precious little minds every day, more than you realize when those kids are little. You don't realize how their friends are affecting them, and all these things that I'm tempted to talk about are affecting them. And I didn't say this was easy, but parents, come on, make sure your kid's spiritual life is number one. This is what concerns me most about this crowd of people on that Palm Sunday who had been shouting the praises of God at the beginning of the week. It concerns me. By the end of the week, they were saying, crucify Him. Listen, I want to be sensitive. Maybe there's some kind of a defect that has developed, and you're here, and thank God for it. Some of you are watching this by internet and by other means. But in your heart, you're saying, I'm really upset with God. And in one sense, you're saying, crucify Him, because He's allowed all this injustice in my life as we're standing this morning. Folks, Satan will come and say, if God is who He said He is, He wouldn't be allowing all these things to happen. Folks, the reality for all of us is that we live in a world that is fallen. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, when I know people are hurting, and there are a lot of people hurting, I want to heal that. But I can't heal every hurt. But what I can do today is I can pray for you. And I can encourage you to reestablish, if it's not there, reestablish your worship of the living God. And in so doing, you are establishing your authority and ultimately God's kingdom. Amen. Let me pray for you today. And let's believe God to give us power and to give us might and to give us courage to press on. Father, I pray for everyone who is in this audience today. I pray for all of us. Father, that we would recognize that we are in a spiritual battle and that battle is very real. Father, help us recognize that today. Help us recognize that we are going to worship something and we're going to worship someone. Let it be you, the true and the living God. Come on, beloved. Right now, as best you know how, surrender your heart to God. Give God your heart and give Him your worship today. And Lord, in so doing, we're saying we want to serve You and we want to represent You. Father, we want to be more than just about our own lives. We want to be about Your business. We want to be about kingdom business. We want to be about establishing Your earthly kingdom. And we give You praise. I think we ought to lift up a praise. Come on, come on, come on, come on. No, don't give Jesus a little hand clap. Come on, give Him a praise from the heart. Come on, give Jesus a praise this morning. Come on, reestablish worship right now. Come on, reestablish worship. Father, we worship You. Come on, worship Him now. Come on, come on, it's good to clap.